celebrating tomorrow. I pray that you would take a moment and, with your family, thank the Lord for the freedoms that we do have, not just as a nation, but the greater blessing that we have is to have a personal relationship with God, how He saved us from sin. That is an amazing freedom that we can never forget. And I also, want us to, as much as we can as a church body, want to take care of anybody who's serving in our military the way that they deserve. One of the things that I think we can do in honoring them today, I will share a quote that I saw on a end of a movie clip, and it was by Mother Teresa, and it said something along the lines of this: "You want to make a difference in our world? Go home and love your family." And so may we honor those who have fallen, and as we celebrate Memorial Day. This morning, we are in the Gospel of John, and what I want to do is I want to request everybody to stand today as we are taking, again, a break from the Gospel of Mark. This message is a special message that will kick us off into something new that we are doing throughout the summer. And I want to invite you, like I did last Sunday, to stick around for a few minutes because we have a special announcement and how we're going to roll out this summer, okay? So remember, Cracker Barrel will still be open. Just hang with us, okay? But anyways, here we are, John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast off as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And Lord, we just again thank you so much for your living word. May you speak to us now. Please remove any distractions. Please, Lord, forgive us of our sins that we would not be hindered this morning from hearing from you. And so we lift up this time. Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we get ready to take a look at this portion of scripture, I want to give a little background. And Jesus and his disciples have just left the upper room after finishing what we all know as the Last Supper. All throughout this night, Jesus shared many things with his disciples. And as they were actually heading their way or working their way toward the Garden of Gethsemane, this would be Jesus, one of his very last teachings with his disciples, an opportunity to continue to prepare them for what was ahead. Now, there are two schools of thoughts as to how this teaching came about. One is many believe that this teaching was inspired by the decor of the temple. The historian Josephus wrote in his writings, and he described that certain pillars and certain areas of the temple had golden images of vines with clusters of grapes. So after seeing these, it would have prompted Jesus to share this parable, this story. Another thought is they were actually, as they worked their way to the garden, that they passed an actual vineyard as they crossed through the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane. And so both are acceptable. It could have happened either way. But the reality is that we've discovered throughout the Gospel of Mark that Jesus taught with many parables. In other words, he had a way of sharing earthly stories that would come alongside a heavenly truth, a heavenly meaning. Here in this particular portion of scripture, Jesus shared about a vine. It was an example that the disciples were very familiar with. They would have known that whole process of how the fruit would come about in a field. And the reality is, again, it was a very familiar story. And so I want to use this as an example. You know, it would be hard for us to go to the Philippines and try and tell people about snow. Why? Because it never snows there. But if you talk about rice fields, they would fully understand. They would probably teach us a thing or two about rice fields. But everybody during this time in Jerusalem would have understood the growth process of a vineyard. And so the spiritual truth of this particular portion of scripture, I believe it's safe to say that Jesus wanted his disciples then, and the main point of this passage is Jesus' desire was for them to bear fruit. Okay, that's the main portion of this scripture. And I believe it's safe to also say that all of us that are here this morning, we all have a desire to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Would you agree? Yeah, because I'm pretty sure there's other things you would like to do on a Sunday, right? And so the reality is that if we have a desire to grow, the fruit that Jesus desired for all of his disciples to bear literally goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. It is there that through God's people, it says, in them, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. So the fruit that Jesus and God desires for us today is this, that we would love him, that we would be faithful to living out his word. In other words, walk in obedience, that we would be willing to then take what we know and share it with other people who do not know. And it's really simple, because all of us love talking about the things that we love. Is that right? Would you agree with me? Okay. Listen, I remember, you know, growing up and I want to be careful how I say this. But you know how it is when you're growing up and you have a lot of crushes on people, right? And so whenever another, you know, this was, okay, before Marisa, so don't judge me. Don't get mad at me, babe. But the reality is whenever I would see somebody that caught my eye and I get to know them, and that's all I would do is talk about them. And my friends would be all like, come on, dude, get over it. Like, I'm enough of talking about her. But no, man, she's different, you know? Whatever. Sometimes you love talking about those things that you love, and it's easy. And so the reality is, I have never in my experience, listen, have seen somebody who loves Jesus that isn't connected with them. Never seen it. And the fruit that Jesus desires for us and them today, you know, we need to bear good fruit. And the reality is, in God's eyes, though he loves this whole world, there are only two kinds of people. First, there are those who don't believe in him, those who reject him, those who have no interest in knowing him or following him. They want to live a life the way they want, and they follow after the pleasures of their heart. And these are the people that are spiritually dead. They have no connection with God, because the Bible says very clearly that sin separates us from God. There's several scriptures, but I would encourage you to take a look at Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 to 2, where it talks about our iniquities is what separates us from God, that he turns his face from us. The other group are people who believe in him. Those who have made a confession of faith, who believe that Jesus completed God's perfect plan of redemption. Those who have committed a life to living out God's will, fulfilling what his word is saying. These are the people who are spiritually alive. Sometimes you may hear the term born again. And you can find that in John chapter 3, verses 3 up to verse 17. But even with these two groups of people, according to Galatians chapter 5, Paul reveals both groups of people produce fruit. If you were to look at, and I would encourage you, write this scripture reference down. We don't have time to go through all of these portions of scripture. But Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21 is the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of those who are not walking with Jesus. Now, not all of the whole entire list applies, but the reality is this list is not a good list. I guarantee you, when you take time to go back and look and read that list, here's the question I want you to ask yourself. Is this the kind of life that is drawn closer to Jesus, that is connected with Jesus? And you'll discover that the answer is no, because the fruit that it desires to produce will lead to destruction. When you look at verses 22 to 23, the fruit that God desires to produce in a heart that is surrendered to him, this fruit brings life. It brings a blessing to other people. In the same way, fruit from a tree is not meant for the tree. It's meant for the enjoyment of other people. I mean, have you ever seen in the marketplace an apple taking a bite of another apple? I've never seen that. The fruit that is the produce, that the fruit that comes out of the tree is not for the tree. It's for the enjoyment of everybody else. And as believers in Christ, when they are surrendered to him, our lives literally will become a blessing. We will become a light in this dark world. The reality is that our life will literally, listen carefully, become a living epistle, because as we take in the word of God, that is what comes flowing out of us. And so this was God's desire from the very beginning, and it hasn't changed. And in this portion of scripture, Jesus reveals how we can bear good fruit. Now, this study this morning is not going to be a typical verse-by-verse study. I want to give us a few points here and then lead us into our announcement later after the message. And so the one thing that I want to be able to point out is Jesus reveals how we can bear good fruit. And step one would be is that it starts with him. In verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. And this is actually the seventh I am statement of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And the truth of the matter is this, in its simplicity, no one can ever have a right relationship with God if you remove Jesus from the equation. If you reject Jesus, there is no way of you knowing God. Jesus is the one who has redeemed us. Jesus is the one who came into this world to bring us back into a right relationship with God through his death and his resurrection. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, that was the work of redemption he completed. And there's nothing else that you and I could ever do to win God's favor or enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus did it all and he paid it all. Okay? For those of you who have a mortgage, remember, 30 years of payments. After that 30 years, you see that big, beautiful red stamp paid in full. No more house payments. Isn't that awesome? Maybe you're not homeowners. I don't know. Okay. Anyways, whatever. I think you get the picture. I'll change the example up for third service. But anyways, Jesus is the one who helps us bear fruit. And the truth that we see here is no believer in Christ can grow on their own. No one. You may do good for a little while. You may be able to do certain things that are pleasing to the Lord, but if you continue to do them in your own strength, our old nature will creep back up very quickly. And what's interesting is when you look at this word true in verse 1, it means real, genuine, original. You see, unlike the religious leaders of Jesus' day who failed to lead God's people to God, who failed to worship God in truth and in spirit, the religious leaders corrupted, listen, even the temple by turning it into a marketplace. Jesus was basically saying, I am different than them. I'm the real deal. In other words, Jesus is the one that was letting the disciples and us know today that he is the true source of strength that will help us live for God. He is the only one that can help us bear good fruit, to have a genuine and real relationship with God. Again, you remove Jesus out of that equation, there is no way that that will ever happen. The next thing that Jesus pointed out was that his Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. Now, for those of us who may not know this, a vine dresser is the one who is in complete control of his vineyard. A modern term may be a gardener. He is the one who cares for, tends for, and protects the seeds that have been sown. You know, I can remember my father-in-law when he was with us. Man, he loved his backyard. He'd grow tomatoes, chilies, and everything else that he possibly could. And he would always come up to me, you know, when I first met them, and he would give me a tomato or a chili. He's like, "Oh man, try these out. These are better than Costco." He was proud of it, man. He owned that ground and he worked it and he cared for it. He spent all of his days out there. He would make his own compost. He was sold out for that yard, for that garden. And the reality is, I want to make sure we don't miss this picture by what Jesus said about his Father being the vine dresser, because the reality is, here's the amazing picture of our God. We have God the Father and God the Son who desire to be a part, to be involved in your life. I want you to consider and remember what God did to save you. That he would literally leave heaven, come through a virgin birth and take upon flesh and blood to die for our sins so that we can live. You see, beloved, for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, he is not the God who's afar. He's the God that is near. He is the God who desires to be involved in every part of your life. And so this is a beautiful picture, God caring and protecting us from even today, the enemies that we face from Satan, our flesh, and even in the world, that he's willing to get his hands dirty for our sake. Isn't that an amazing picture? Step number two on how we can bear good fruit for the Lord is found in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Highlight this, underline it, whatever you need to do. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 4, once again, the word abide here means to remain, to stay connected to him. Jesus made it very clear, no branch on its own, a branch that is disconnected from the vine, can never produce fruit. It has to stay connected to the vine. And even though this illustration is simple, I pray that we do not miss the amazing truth in it. And what is that? It applies to our walk with the Lord. Listen, no believer can ever grow on their own or produce fruit. I have never heard of or met a person who claims to be a believer in Christ, who is on fire, who's very passionate about the Lord, okay? Who's just always talking about the Lord and have a testimony of, I never pray, I never read God's word, I never go to church, and I don't hang out with all those Christian people, but yet on fire for the Lord. Have you ever met a person like that? I never have, because I don't think they exist. And the reality is this, as we study through the word of God and we hear of all the amazing testimonies of the people that God used, notice this with me, they trusted in God, they talked with God, they walked with God, they believed in God. Listen, these testimonies come from Abraham, who was known as the father of faith, okay? Oh man, the father, in other words, he has major trust in his God. Was he perfect? Not even close. He lied twice. said that Sarah was his sister instead of his wife. Remember that? How about David? Was David walking around telling everybody, hey, you know, I'm a man after God's own heart? Did he have a t-shirt that said that? I have no idea. But the reality is this, he didn't walk around saying that. That was a testimony people gave him. How did he get that testimony? I personally believe it was all those nights that he spent alone out in the wilderness watching over his father's sheep. Those nights where he penned majority of the Psalms that we get to read today. His time alone, looking up at the stars, gazing at God's creation, God giving him boldness to confront a bear and a lion to save his father's sheep. All of these things that we read in the book of Psalms can only come from a relationship that is deep and strong. One who is remaining, staying connected, staying as close as possible to their God. And listen, he wasn't perfect either. He made his share of mistakes, right? He committed adultery, tried to cover it up, murdered a man. He wasn't perfect, but I can tell you this, in the midst of their mistakes, when their failures took place, it wasn't themselves that made them right with God. It was God willing to forgive them, them willing to repent, them willing to confess their sins. And the moment they confessed their sins, it was God who lifted them up. It was God who brought them back where they rightfully belong. And I just want to caution us with this, because as believers, we can become disconnected from God when we have unconfessed sins in our heart. We can become disconnected from God when we stop reading our Bibles and stop praying. We can so easily disconnect from the body of Christ. Oh, I'm just going to stay home and watch online. And for those of you watching online, love you. This is not, I'm not calling you out. Listen, I'm not even looking at you. Okay? But the reality is this. How easy could it be? How convenient? Oh, I'm going to just stay in my pajamas and cook up some bacon and watch the service and have a nice hot cup of coffee, and you don't even have to brush your hair or brush your teeth. You gotta brush your teeth. How convenient it could be to disconnect from the body, but yet, I'm just gonna say this, love me or hate me, those of you who are watching online, we love you, but we would prefer that you would be here with us. To be in the midst of the body of Christ, worshiping together and watching what God does in our hearts as a group. And I know God's ministering to you at home, so don't get mad at me, okay? And if you are, steve@calvarysg.com. But I think you get the point. If we remain in Christ, or if we want to remain in Christ, we too aren't perfect. But I will encourage us with this. The moment that you find yourself falling, the moment that you find yourself sinning, repent immediately. Repent quickly. We need to understand that we're not going to be perfect, and God knows that. But what we also need to do, and what we need to remember, is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin, give us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, though they made mistakes, it was God who forgave them. It was God who lifted them up. It was God who cleansed them from their sins. It was God who made them righteous once again. God does it. We can't. So, beloved, if we have a desire to grow in our relationship and bear good fruit, we must stay connected to Jesus. The third thing that I want to bring out in this portion of Scripture is Jesus reveals if we want to bear good fruit, we must experience a process called pruning. That's found in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it will bear more fruit. Now, this verse describes Jesus, once again, being hands-on in our lives. The desire that he has to help us grow. When it says here that the branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away, We need to understand there have been a lot of people who may have misinterpreted this verse in that if you mess up, that's it. It's over. God takes you away. And that is far from the truth. The phrase takes away here literally means to be lifted up. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you, if there is a letter that's in italic next to the phrase takes away, drop down to where your cross references are, look for that letter, and I guarantee you, your Bible will say lift up. And so what is this picture that I want us to see? We have to understand a little bit about how the process of a vine grows to understand it, but here it goes. As a vine shoots up out of the ground, it begins by being a young twig, which has no strength to hold itself up. So as it grows, the natural tendency would be is instead of growing upward, it just grows downward and it can grow along the ground. And the reality is if it remains on the ground, it will still grow some portion, but it won't grow properly. It will get covered with dirt, or it could be eaten by insects. But I also discovered through the course of this study that it could also catch diseases. Something new that I didn't know of. But the reality is this, if it remains on the ground and the dirt covers it, it will not get the proper nutrients. So a vine dresser, a gardener, will come along and lift them up off of the ground with his own hands, clean it off, and then place either a rock or another piece of wood under it to help it grow. So understanding this terminology, understanding and knowing that as the vine grows and it grows on the ground, what does a good vine dresser do? He's observant and he sees what's happening and he picks them up in order for them to grow. That's the beautiful picture. But the other branches that bear fruit, here's this word he prunes, or this phrase. The pruning process is when the vine dresser will look at the vine and then cut away unproductive branches to help the branches that are bearing fruit bear more fruit. Okay? Now, I'm going to use an example on my life so that way none of you will get mad at me, okay? So for me, my calling that God has given me with all my heart, I believe, is to be his servant. And that calling requires, or the gift that God has blessed me and the opportunity that I have to serve him, it is as the under shepherd of this fellowship. And that's a huge privilege. And it is an honor to be that. But I also, little transparency, like fooling around with Photoshop. I like creating graphics. And so in my life, knowing what my calling is and my responsibility of leading this fellowship, making sure all of the stuff is in order, making sure that I'm studying for God's word, that's my primary calling. That's that fruit that God wants to bear in my life. But if I start doing graphics and I start heading off in this direction like a new branch springing out from this vine, then what happens? It takes away from the original calling. It takes away from the original cluster of grapes, the fruit that God wants to bear in my life. And so if I'm involved in graphics, and if I'm involved in, you know, some of you have asked, why don't you lead worship, Pastor? Because we have other gifted people who can do that. I don't need to do it. I'll step in if one of them is sick or whatever, but they're gifted in that. And the reality is, if I'm doing worship or if I'm doing graphics, or if I jump in and, oh, I want to start ministering to the young adults, I want to go to Veritas, and oh no, I want to go into children's ministry, you know what, I had such a blast with Armor Up, forget y'all, I'm gonna go spend some time with some kids. All these little branches, and what does God do? He'll say, okay, now wait a minute, you see this branch, you don't need that, and here's the reason why. Remember, at the end of the service, nobody has ever come up to you and said, Pastor, your graphics drew me so closer to Jesus. Never happened. All of these little things that I can get involved in can pull me away from what God's original calling in my life is. And those are the times that when God wants to come in and start pruning, not all of them are bad. But the reality is they're taking me away from where God really wants me to shine, where God wants to help me grow. This is the pruning process that helps us. For what reason? Don't forget this. Bear more fruit. I am, again, amazed with so many things that are going on. It's so easy. It is so easy to get caught up. It is so easy to get involved in all the things. If you were to literally look at our bulletin, we almost have an event happening every single night of the week. And if you volunteer for every single one of them, this is what's going to happen. You're going to keep giving out without taking in properly. And what you're going to end up doing in your volunteering or ministering in this church, instead of giving people Jesus, you get your tired self. And I want us to see this because it's important to point out, Jesus just didn't preach it. He lived it. I want to encourage you, turn your Bibles with me really quickly back to the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. I want us to see this really quickly. Mark chapter 1, Jesus had just finished doing a full night of ministry. Stood up really late. And we're looking at verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose," underline this, "I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Here in this one particular portion of scripture, I want you to see this really quickly. Jesus was willing to break away from the crowd of people and even his disciples by waking up early while it was still dark. What was the purpose? So that he could be alone and spend time with his Heavenly Father. He was willing to get up early, find a place without any distractions so that he can be alone. The next thing we see in this portion of scriptures is that he prayed. He tapped into the true source of strength that was given, that was made available to him. He was there talking with God. And I know it's safe to say he prayed for himself and he prayed for others. I mean, you already know the disciples. You know he was praying for them, right? You know he was praying for all of the religious leaders that were attacking him and just praying and hoping that their eyes would be open to the truth of who he is. All of the opposition that he faced. Guarantee you, he was praying for those things. Praying for God's will to be done in his life. And after he was done praying, he received wisdom and strength to avoid the distractions that would pull him away from fulfilling God's will. Remember, as the disciples found him, they said, "Hey, everybody's back. Round two, let's go back to the house. You can continue to heal people. You continue to cast out demons. We have the ladies cooking in the kitchen. We have a house where you can take a nap. Comfortable. We don't have to travel anywhere." And Jesus immediately said, "No, there are other towns that need to hear the gospel. For this reason, I have come to preach the gospel." You see, when you spend time alone with God, he will definitely give you wisdom and strength to avoid the distractions. He will give you strength to avoid the temptations. And believe it or not, listen, there's a truth behind this statement. It is foolish to think that you can battle against Satan on your own. If he was capable enough to deceive a third of God's angels to following him, who are you to stand against him in your own strength? And I hope and pray that as we see this example with Jesus, beloved, what's our takeaway this morning from this simple, short message? If you and I have a desire to bear fruit, it has to start with Jesus. It has to. No one can ever have a right relationship with God apart from Jesus. And the other thing that I want to remind us is never, ever forget where you once were. Beloved, understand and know we were Ephesians chapter 2, because the only reason why we are saved today is because of the grace and the mercy of God. Remember, as you look at that portion of scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to know this really quickly. You were in verses 1 to 3, under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, living a lifestyle that is in line with our culture and what we see happening in our world today. And then you come to, I believe, verse 4, but God, that amazing, beautiful phrase, God didn't leave you that way. Out of love, he pulled you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. God pulled you out of the pits that we were in and given us an opportunity to now be adopted into his family. God did all of that through Jesus. And the reality is, don't ever forget. So when I say it starts with Jesus, it's believing, it's repenting, it's committing a life to live for God. But it starts with him. The second encouragement I have for us today is stay connected to Jesus. Stay as close as possible. You know, one of the mistakes that many people make as they come to know the Lord, you have seen this before, but act like you don't because there's some new people, and just say amen when I'm done, okay? But the reality is this, because we were in darkness and brought now into light, there is a clear, distinct line of what sin is. And the problem that many believers make to this day is instead of living in the newness of life that God has given them, they should be receiving and walking more and more away from that line. But the reality is people are accepting the Lord and they're getting as close to the line as possible. How close can I get when it's not sin? When all the while we should be living as far away from that line as possible. And the reality is when you stay close to Jesus, when you find yourself digging into the Word of God, when you find yourself, listen, praying and not having a desire to look at your phone or be disturbed by it, when you're in that attitude of worship and you lose track of time, when you are constantly just the input of the Lord coming into you, the natural result, you will bear fruit. True repentance always shows fruit. And this is my heart's desire in sharing this because we're seeing it in John chapter 15. We need to learn how to enjoy walking with the Lord. And please don't say you have to. It's a get to. We have this amazing privilege to have a personal relationship with the very one who created everything out of nothing. This is the God that loves us. This is a God that we have a personal relationship with us. This is the God who wants to be a part of every aspect of your life. Stay connected. And the last thing I want to encourage us with, let Jesus lift you up and cut away anything in your life that is hindering you from growing. The Lord knows we're not going to be perfect. He knows that. And that's why he came up with a way for us to be able to say no to sin, to be able to walk away from the temptations that we face. He's given us Jesus. And even when Jesus was crucified and he rose again and he ascended into heaven, Jesus made us a promise. And that promise is, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to give you another helpmate. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you, to guide you, to lead you into the truth, to give you spiritual understanding, to convict you when you're doing things that are wrong, to empower you to say no to sin, to empower you to live a life that is pleasing to God. It is through the Holy Spirit that we can accomplish good fruit. And so my desire today is when we give Jesus full authority over our lives, He will come in, as Philippians 1:6 says, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And what I love about Jesus is he does not do anything half-hearted. Isn't that awesome news? Come on now. The work that he wants to do in you is a good work. The work that he wants to do in you is to allow you to see the beauty of who he is. And when we see that for our own self, when our eyes are opened, God does amazing things. And so I pray that today we would understand when we take these steps, again, the heart of this passage, by the fruit that we display, notice verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. If you go through this passage one more time on your own, notice the progression from bearing fruit to bearing more fruit to now bearing much fruit. That can only happen when our heart is in the palm of our Lord's hands. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for, again, the truth. And I pray that you would continue to give us understanding. And so, Lord, we desire this morning to walk away with the spiritual truth behind it, and that you desire for all of us as believers to bear fruit. You've given us the simple steps that we can take. It starts with you. We need to remain in you. And we need to be willing to allow you to pick us up and to cut away things in our life that are hindering us from growing. God, help us today to have more of a hunger for you than what this world has to offer. God, help us in that time of us having our private worship, that would fuel our public worship, that what we take in would be seen by what we do. God, I pray that all of our lives would be a bright and shining light in this dark world. So empower us as your disciples, as your followers. Continue the work that you began. Pour out more of your Spirit upon us. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never given the Lord your heart. And I want to encourage you right where you're at, that God loves you and he desires to spend eternity with you. And if you were ministered to this morning, if the words that came out from this pulpit of God's love and what he did in order for you to be restored in a right relationship with God made sense, and you understand and know that you are spiritually dead, you have no connection with God until you're willing to receive Jesus. Jesus himself said it in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you believe in his death and his resurrection, when you believe that he finished the work of redemption on the cross, that it was his shed blood that was the rightful payment for our forgiveness of sins, for the world's sins, the Bible says you will be saved. That God's promise is you will receive the gift of everlasting life. And if this is you this morning, right where you're at, I want to invite you, slip up your hand if you have a desire to receive Christ. Praise the Lord. I see your hand here in the center, off to my left. Anyone else? Don't let this moment go by. The Lord has a desire to touch more and more hearts. And if you don't know him, I pray today, I plead with you to know that he loves you and he has a desire to spend eternity with you. One more minute. Thank you for raising your hands. You guys can put them down now. I want to invite you, and I want to invite anybody, if you have a desire to get right with God, and even if you didn't raise your hand, you still can receive this amazing gift because it's your heart that God sees. It's not the hand that saves you. It's your heart. It's believing. And so for those of you who desire to do that this morning, repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. I understand that he died for the sins of the world. I understand he died for my sins. God, I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. I believe by faith his death and resurrection brings forgiveness of sin and peace with God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and saving me. God, from this day forward, please come into my life and teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you, if you made that prayer sincere between you and the Lord, off to my left is Pastor Guy. And at the end of the service, I want to invite you to spend a little time with him. He's going to give you a Bible. He's going to help you to know where to start reading. But then he's also going to just pray over you and give you another little gift that we have just to help you start this new relationship with the Lord. But like I also mentioned earlier, the worship team is just going to sing a chorus real quick. And then we have a special announcement concerning what's ahead for us this summer and why we're taking a break from the Gospel of Mark. And so please stick around. Like I said, Cracker Barrel will still be open. Okay.